It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to the Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Good morning, everybody. And the Giants finally make their first big offseason move late yesterday. They release linebacker Michael Boley. And it's going to be a busy offseason for Big Blue. I think you're going to have some significant changes to this team. We've talked about it all offseason long, the speculation of who's going to go where, what's going to happen. Lance, we finally got some news.
And it was mainly a financial move, as Michael Boley was due just over $4 million next season, so this gives them some financial flexibility. They do need to get under the cap. And clearly, the linebacker position was something we talked about for weeks, John, is an area of concern, an area that they need to improve. Michael Boley did start 11 games last season. He was out there for all 16, did battle through injuries, but they have other options. Jaquan Williams is one that comes to mind, mainly because he was hurt last season. I think they're going to get him more heavily involved this year. He has that versatility. He could play against the run. He could play against the pass, and they can explore other options in free agency still and the draft. So, you know, Giants fans, some are surprised. Some are not surprised, but at the end of the day, it's not as if the Giants all of a sudden have this huge gaping hole at the linebacker spot and they have no idea where they're going. There are internal candidates that they will look to first.
Yeah, and that's why this move made sense. A lot of people have talked about, will the Giants cut Chris Canty? Will the Giants cut Corey Webster? Will the Giants make a move on David Deere or on Charles Roll? And I've always said, I'm not sure if they're going to, because if you let those guys go, you're in a situation where you don't have somebody, in my opinion, behind them that can step in right away and play that same exact role at any one of those positions. And you can throw Justin Tuck into that mix as well. But for a guy like Michael Boley, who did not have great production last year, he had those four interceptions early, he did a good job. But in terms of being a physical presence in the run and making plays in the backfield and simply being a playmaker, a linebacker, Michael Boley did not have the season in 2012 that he had in the Super Bowl season in 2011. And like you said, they have those two young players behind him, Jaquan Williams and Spencer Paysinger, to step in and take on that role so you don't have to go out there in the draft on a high draft pick or in free agency spend big money to replace Michael Boley. So I think this move on a lot of levels made a whole lot of sense. And at the end of the year, Jaquan Williams, when he finally did get healthy, was playing ahead of Michael Boley. So that was a sign, I think, for people that watched those last few games that this move might have been down the turnpike a little bit.
And Michael Boley essentially became a rotational player right in the latter part of the season. He wasn't necessarily an every-down linebacker, and he wasn't a starter. So the Giants had been utilizing other talent to infuse into that core so that they can get an idea and see what perhaps they'd be working with come 2013. It's not as if they haven't thought this through. And Jaquan Williams, remember, we talked about that three-safety alignment, and we talked about if Jaquan Williams was fully healthy, how the overall performance of the defense could have potentially changed. Well, come next season, Giants fans may get their first glimpse of that, where Perry Fuel can utilize Williams as even a safety or a linebacker, and that frees up some of your corners and your defensive linemen. It really changes the whole scheme.
And another issue now with the Giants linebacker core, almost definitely you're going to have two new starters next year. We'll see about in the middle with Chase Blackburn. I'm sure Mark Herzlick will give him a run in the offseason. The Giants would like him to try to challenge Blackburn for that middle linebacker spot. It was anticipated that would happen last year. Never really came to fruition. Chase just played really well, and Herzlick wasn't ready. But with Kiwanuka more than likely moving the defensive end, again, that's assuming Osumanure doesn't resign, which is certainly no guarantee. He could very well be back in a Giant uniform next year. Then maybe Kiwanuka does stay at linebacker.
But we'll still rotate back and forth.
Sure, but you're looking at right now that more than likely a minimum of two of the Giants linebackers that start next year will be new players.
It's going to have a new mix, and it's going to have a new look. That's probably the best way to describe this linebacker core, and it shouldn't be a surprise. One of the biggest issues for the Giants on defense this season, and we talked about it heavily throughout the course of the year and throughout the offseason thus far, has been the inability of this squad to stop the run. And part of that is how your linebackers perform. So that's why they need to mix and match. They need to bring in some youth. They need to have some veterans to lead this youth group. But they've got to get better in plugging those holes and stopping the run. And I think Jaquan Williams is one of those answers, given his speed and his versatility. Michael Boley had been battling numerous injuries since he arrived here in New York.
Time and time again, whether it was a hip or a knee or an ankle, there was always something with Michael Boley.
And in the end of the day, that hurts your production. You're looking for consistency from your linebacker corps. You want guys that are going to aggressively pursue those holes and provide that second layer of defense for your front four. If guys are hurt, they don't have that speed factor anymore. And I think you saw Michael Boley wear down over the course of the year. What stands out to me about Boley's play, that opener against the Cowboys, or even last year with the big interceptions and the big returns, we did not see enough of that, though, as the season progressed.
And he was never the most physical linebacker anyway, always somebody that was more comfortable in space and chasing and being in coverage. So the Giants will, again, give the opportunity to the young guys, Jaquan Williams and Spencer Paysinger. But, again, it opens up more options for the rest of the offseason now, whether it's free agency or the draft, to make improvements. 201-939-4513. Very busy on the phones. Let's head out to our first caller of this morning's show. Caesar is in the Bronx. Caesar, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing great, Caesar.
What you got?
Well, I just really think that it's imperative for the Giants to reach for that cornerback position. I mean, it's been game after game where, you know, they depended on the opposite team depended on throwing the ball in the air because the Giants didn't have a really good cornerback position, a really stable cornerback player. I just really think that they need to focus on that area a little bit more this year. I mean, last year, you know, they decided to retool through the draft, but I really think that through free agency they should make a couple of moves here and there, at least to add more depth to that position.
Well, I think that they'll probably look to maybe bring in another veteran, given the youth that they have between Prince Amukamara and Jayron Hosley. Remember, they had a lot of corners starting in training camp. Unfortunately, it was an injury-plagued group. All the guys that they thought they were going to be able to utilize throughout the course of the season were gone by week one or week two. That was just the nature of training camp. So they're going to have that same approach this offseason, build up the depth chart regarding that secondary. Whether or not they make a big splash remains to be seen, and given the lack of financial flexibility, I would be surprised. They could very well draft somebody again. That could be a target. Remember, they're going to go best talent available with that first-round pick. A lot of Giants fans are speculating they need a linebacker, so they should reach for a linebacker. No, that should not be the philosophy. The philosophy should be if somebody falls to them and they feel they're a good fit for the scheme, grab them. If not, then go for the best talent available. We've seen that in seasons prior where they've beefed up on the defensive line, and it would not surprise me if they maybe brought in another defensive lineman. You have some flexibility if you add depth. The secondary is certainly an area of need because they have a couple of safeties that are also free agents. They're going to have to determine what they want to do with the likes of Stevie Brown and Kenny Phillips, and Stevie Brown is a restricted free agent. But probably with regarding the corners, I could see them adding a veteran guy through free agency. I don't know necessarily if it's going to be a huge game-changer name.
I mean, when you mentioned that, what kind of example, or who would you think would likely fit in with the scheme and the and you know of the need as well? Because I mean, the cornerbacks, you know, I mean, this year has really been tough for the cornerbacks, and I really feel that you know, if we beef that position up and also the offensive line as well, I mean, I really think we can make another run for it.
Well, keep this in mind, Caesar. The reason why the secondary had trouble this year is because the lack of the pass rush. If you have a consistent pass rush that is getting to the quarterback, your production from the secondary should increase as a result.
Yeah, that being said, though, Caesar's right. Depth was an issue, especially late in the season. You had a lot of injuries in the offseason. We can go through the laundry list if you want, from Bruce Johnson to Witherspoon to Terrell Thomas. But at the end of the year, they dressed three corners in that final game against Philly, and Justin Tryon was one of them.
So, and Amukamara missed the Falcons game.
Exactly. One way or the other, you're going to have to add some depth here. But in my opinion, at least as we stand right now, the guys that are going to be the three primary cornerbacks on this team next year are the guys that are on the roster. Webster will start in one spot, Prince will start in another, and then Hosley will be your slot guy. And I think those will be your primary players, but I think you might see some corners added later in the draft and maybe some lower-level free agents to add some veteran presence in that defensive backfield. I just don't think, Caesar, they have the resources or the money to go out there and spend on a big-time corner. That's the second or third most expensive position in the league after quarterback, and defensive end. And the Giants just don't have the money to dedicate that amount of cash to that position, with Webster on the books for a lot of money, Prince being a first-round pick, Hosley being a third-round pick.
Right. Well, I mean, I just, they need to do something.
No, I hear you.
Sometimes it's good. You know, I'm a very big Giants fan. I faithfully watch every single game every Sunday. And there's a lot of huge areas that they may need to cover. But overall, I believe that the Giants, they did the best that they possibly could. I just feel like they should have just won a couple of games that was in reach. But other than that, man, I mean, I know next year we're gonna go out and we're gonna go out there and do some damage out there on the field. So I just hope that they really get a chance to get the core guys together, get a little of the chemistry and the timing that was shown in the Super Bowl run in 2011. So I really think that they can do it. They just need to make a little bit more moves and try to do something a little different. But other than that, I think that, the pass rush is really, really key at this moment because, now that they went through, like Jason Pierre-Paul and Tuck and all those guys, since they got focused on so much this year, I believe that next year is going to be a huge breakout year for one of those guys. And I just hope that, they end up being on the right track.
All right, Caesar, thanks for the call, pal. 201-939-4513, and obviously the defense line and the cornerbacks play off of each other. So that's a factor.
And another thing just to bring up regarding the financial flexibility that the Giants are looking at this offseason, something we talked about yesterday, you've still got the Victor Cruz, the Akeem Nicks, and the JPP extension factors. And those are all going to play a role in terms of how aggressive the Giants are in free agency.
Yeah, JPP signed up for two more years, Nicks for one more. So they'll go from there, and Linval Joseph can be considered in that mix as well. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Charles then in Charlotte, North Carolina. Charles, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Hey, how y'all guys doing?
Doing well,
Charles. What you got?
Well, the last few times I called in, talked about the linebacker core. I like the move. I like the Bowley move. I feel like the way the draft is set up now and the salaries, that's the name of the game now. You flush out your veterans with cheap. A first round is cheap now compared to 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Your second round, third round guys are, you get those guys at a bargain now. I mean, Reuben Randle, we'll see in the next couple of years or the next year or two, maybe even next year, that guy, we're hardly paying him anything right now, and he's probably going to be a big factor next year. That's the name of the league now. Look at Janoris Jenkins. Look at some of the other guys. Keegley for the Panthers. You gotta install some of these younger rookies that's cheap in your game plan today in today's game. It's no longer cool to re-sign your guy to a $60 million deal. I think you're gonna really, unless you're Eli, Peyton, some of those guys as franchise quarterback, something like that. I just think that, the way of the world and the way of the NFL right now is about, it's about adjusting every year. Last year was about stopping the pass. Everybody went out and everybody, especially in the NFC East, went out and got DBs and safeties and all that good stuff to try to stop the Giants because we had won the Super Bowl. I think what you're going to see this year is people going to beef up on their run, their linebackers. It changes from season to season. I think with us, I would love to see us go out and get a first-round linebacker. I don't believe that we have went out and got the best player available every year. I think the year we got Hakeem, there was a needed wide receiver. I think the year we got not Prince because he failed to us, but what was the year before Prince? Not JPP. It was who am I thinking about here? Even last year, David Wilson. That was a needed running back. We didn't get the best player available last year. We got David Wilson because we needed a running back.
Well,
I think
yeah, David Wilson was pretty high in the Giants' charts, and the player, but the year before Prince, it was JPP.
Okay, yeah, and JPP was the best player available. I think Prince was the best player available. I think Hakeem wasn't. I think Hakeem was a needed wide receiver. We needed a wide receiver, and I think we went out, and that's what we targeted. I think we targeted a running back. I still think we wanted that boy from the Bucks, but I think we ended up getting David Wilson, which I'm very happy with that. I'm looking for the Giants this offseason to I would like to see Webster go. I think that, it was a good ride. But I think it's time to just put an infusion of young players and young, hungry guys out there on the field. Not to mention, I like what Gary Reese does with the Michael Bowley, Canty type signings when he did sign those guys. Those guys wasn't stars at that time. They were up-and-coming guys. Bowley had been in Atlanta. He had turned the corner as far as his career and his understanding of the NFL game. We got him. Antonio Pierce was another guy that was in Washington. He had turned the corner. He had figured out the game. He was getting better, and they couldn't keep him for salary cap reasons or what have you. We plucked that guy out and got it.
The key is young veterans, Charles. You want to get veterans, but you want to get younger veterans. When they get here, they still have 3 or 4 good years left in them.
Right. I want to get veterans that's probably played their first contract out from a rookie, and then they're turning that corner. They've figured out the game. They're on the up and coming. I don't really want a Nandi or, you know, those guys who's already kind of put their mark out there. I like the up and coming guys like a Antonio Pierce, like a Canty at the time, like even a Michael Bowley at the time was an up and coming guy that was showing promise. So we got a good 4 or 5, however long he was with us. We got a good 4 years out of him. And, you know, now it's time to, mix in some of those guys with your rookies. You got rookies are meant to help your salary cap now. I look at it that way because they're so affordable with the price tag now. You're not having these ridiculous contracts no more. So I feel like that linebacking core, it starts with the linebacking core for me. I think you get rid of Corey Webster, save some money there. It may be somebody else in the far as the veterans that could get released. But right now, I don't think you keep Corey Webster. I love the guy. I love what he's done for us. You had a good career with us, but I think it's time for us to move on from him. It's time for him to get him a fresh start somewhere. And like I said again, I'm fine with Prince and Hosley playing cornerbacks.
Oof.
I'm fine with that.
That's a big risk. Big risk.
That's Charles. A lot of youth you're throwing out there.
Hey, I think Prince showed some flashes last year, and it's about him staying healthy. And then I think I love what Hosley did. I mean, as a rookie and not really knowing, understanding the speed of the game and all that stuff and adjusting, I think he did a fine job. You know what I'm saying? He was another guy that needs to stay on the field, but I like those two corners. They're physical, they're fast, they're hungry, they want to get better. I don't know what Corey Webster goes from here. You've won 2 Super Bowls. He had years where he was probably one of the top cornerbacks in the league as far as interceptions. He has nothing else to prove, and I think a lot of times these guys get these big contracts, you know, you accomplish a few things like you accomplish the Super Bowl. What else is there left other than, you know, some Pro Bowls and stuff like that? But I just feel like, and I really got faith that Terrell Thomas is going to come back too. I got faith, man. I'm praying for the guy. But
all right, Charles.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call. I'm not sure how much faith you should have in Terrell Thomas coming back and being a starting corner next year. I think that's a very fragile basket for you to put your eggs in. Odds are they might end up on the ground.
I would say there's a good chance, and I would say that probably if they're going to bring him back, they may experiment with the safety spot, which we had brought up earlier this offseason regarding Terrell Thomas. And, you know, Corey Webster, I understand the production was up and down, but you look at what Torrey Smith did to Champ Bailey maybe it doesn't look as bad as it was, given Corey Webster's struggles against Torrey Smith. And I'm not necessarily just throwing that out there as an excuse, but when you look at this roster right now and who the Giants have at that corner spot, I would still make the argument Corey Webster is your best option.
If you leave and you let Corey Webster walk away here, you're sitting with basically two corners, one guy in his second year, one in his third year, and nobody else. And if you remember heading into training camp last year, the Giants had too many cornerbacks. People were wondering how these six, seven, eight guys that all could start in this league could possibly all make the roster. How are you going to find room for these guys? Then all of a sudden, bang, bang, ACL, ankle, knee, Achilles, whatever. Injury after injury. And then you're down to three healthy corners by week 17. And you want to cut your most veteran, experienced cornerback and just have these two young guys be your only corners on the roster that you can trust? That is a huge risk. And again, the Giants do not have the resources or the money, at least at this point, to go out there and spend big on a bunch of free agent cornerbacks here. It's not like you can just start throwing money around. There's a salary cap, folks. And do you really want to go into next year, especially considering all the injuries Prince Amukamara has had so far in his young career?
And Hosley was hurt, too, at times this year.
And neither one of those two guys has ever had to guard the other team's best wide receiver. Something that Corey Webster did all last year. Prince has never been asked to do that. It's a lot easier to look good when you're, you know, covering, I'm trying to think of a good, a bad second wide receiver the Giants play, Kevin Ogletree, than, you know, guarding Dez Bryant. It's a big difference.
Which just goes to show you that Prince Amukamara is still developing as a corner. Is he ready to take that next step if you were hypothetically to eliminate Webster and slide him over to the number one? And is Hosley even ready to be an every down number two corner? I don't know if he's even at that point.
No, of course, and Pro Football Focus is a great job, and they talked about earlier in the year of passes targeted to a specific corner in the slot. Hosley allowed the greatest and biggest percentage of completed passes, so he had a lot of struggles early in the year as well.
It was an adjustment period moving from the college game to the pro game.
Which is fair. Third on draft, I think it's going to take you a while to get good at the pro level. It's fine.
But I think when the Giants entered last season, John, they thought they were going to move him along very slowly. He had a larger role than they anticipated because of all of those injuries.
By need. They had to.
You want to have some depth. You get rid of Corey Webster, then you don't have any depth.
And I'm not saying you can't try to renegotiate with him, maybe get the number down to where it's a little bit more reasonable. That's fine. Figure it out. But if you do let Corey Webster go, you're going to have to do a lot of work. And I mean a lot of work at cornerback in the offseason.
And there's no guarantee that a Stevie Brown-esque corner is out there on the market that you can bring in for not a lot of money and you're going to get the same level of production. Because remember, Stevie Brown was a huge gift for the Giants. Did not cost them an awful lot. They brought him into the mix. Kenny Phillips gets hurt. Antrell Roll gets hurt. Brown comes in. It's a very smooth transition, and he gets eight interceptions. Are you going to have a corner that's all of a sudden going to do that all over again?
In the NBA, they say size never comes cheap. In baseball, left-handed power, left-handed pitching never comes cheap. In the NFL, good corners never come cheap. Keep that in mind, folks. 201-939-4513. Back to our phones. Jason's in Missouri. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, pal?
Hey, I'm just in shock about the release of Mike Boley. I mean, I'm not sure if it's in reference to his injuries.
It's a money deal, Jason. That's exactly what it is. The Giants have some cap issues. They're trying to free up some money to give them more flexibility. And they have to make some tough decisions in their ideal world. I think they like to have Boley back next year to provide some competition and veteran leadership at linebacker. But unfortunately, with the salary cap situation, tough decisions have to be made.
Right. I just look at it right now is that who we got back there, Jaquan Williams. They got, is it Greg? I think it's Greg Smith.
Greg Jones was released before last season. So Greg Jones is no longer with the organization.
Wow. So, it's as slim back there as it is in the secondary.
Spencer Paysinger, Jake Masao got signed to a futures contract. But, yeah, there aren't exactly a plethora of linebackers ready to step into play there.
And then when I look at how we got attacked by tight ends who were vertically just killing us up the middle, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of worried now. But, I mean, I know Jerry Reese is a genius when it comes to that draft, so I don't know. It was just kind of a shock to me knowing that how the tight ends play. And looking at our schedule like next year, I mean, of course, the NFC North, you know, you got to battle with the likes of Jermichael Finley And, you know, who else you got out
there? Well, Finley's a question mark. He may not be back with the Packers.
But, yeah, but in the same vein, you have Kyle Rudolph, who's an excellent tight end. The Bears,
Broncos utilize their tight ends.
The Bears run a lot of good tight ends out there, too. So, yeah, look, the tight ends is the new vogue position in the NFL here.
Right.
But remember, Jaquan Williams has had a lot of success covering tight ends in years past.
And if he's
healthy, and that's an if, he was not healthy this year, and he has to prove that he can stay healthy, honestly think Williams will step in and do a good enough job, at least in coverage, to mitigate the loss of Michael Boley.
Right. What do you guys think about the chances of Victor Cruz really coming back?
Well, the Giants are going to make it their number one priority to make sure that they lock him up and he doesn't hit the market, because I don't think you want other teams to dictate the market. They've got about a month and a half to get something done, so I think that they're going to continue to work in the right direction. John Mara has spoken publicly that, you know, the price has to be right because they have other players that they need to take care of. But, you know, Victor Cruz is not being thrown on the back burner. They want to make sure that they lock him up. They want to make sure also that they have some flexibility to lock up Akeem Nicks.
And they have plenty of time to do it, too. There's no rush. There's still a month until free agency begins.
So when Adam Schefter put out the other day that Akeem Nicks was a priority over Cruz, that was sort of a shocker to me, because I'm looking at the numbers and I'm looking at Hakeem's health last year. I don't know, is that the correct thing to do? I mean,
it's called negotiation, Jason. And when you put that there publicly, for example, and again, I'm not sure, I'm not inside Jerry Reese's mind here. I'm not sure what his machinations are, but looking from the outside in, if you put out there in public that, oh, well, maybe Akeem Nicks is a bigger priority for us than Victor Cruz, and Victor Cruz really does want to remain a Giant, he'll go to his agent and say, let's lower our demands a little bit, and then they get a little closer to a contract.
I see. And about Ahmad Bradshaw, is he more than likely to come back, or was this his last run?
Well, he's under contract, so the Giants don't really necessarily have to do anything. I mean, if they want to restructure his deal, it's something they can approach him with.
And he isn't making a ton of money either.
And I think they had a good balance with David Wilson, Andre Brown, and Ahmad Bradshaw. I don't think that's broken at this point.
I don't know if he's going to be the number one back getting 15 to 20 carries, but I think as a veteran and someone that the Giants trust, especially in pass protection, good chance he'll be back.
Yeah, and I was listening to your conversation earlier in reference to Reuben Randle.
Yeah.
I remember when Mario Manningham first got drafted by us, he wasn't the standout player he was the first 2 years.
Yep.
And it took some time for him to come around. I see Reuben Randle stepping in that spot. That last game against Philly, I know it was a closer for Philly. You know, they had nothing to play for, but I've seen a lot of Mario Manningham in him, you know, the plays that he made. He's definitely something to look out for next year. Is Marty B coming back?
I think the Giants will try to bring Martellus Bennett back. And, Jason, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it, man. They'll try to bring Martellus Bennett back if it's at the right price. Same deal. You got to make sure he comes in at a reasonable number. You can't pay him like a top five, top seven, top eight tight end. I don't think he's there. But is he a good starting tight end in the NFL? Sure. And I think the Giants will try to bring him back and pay him within that salary structure.
And how far Adrian Robinson comes along will also determine what they want to do with respect to the tight end. But Bennett seemed to be a good fit. Unfortunately, he had that hyperextended knee. You take that out of the equation, he was very productive. And his extra security blanket for Eli Manning.
And I like to see people starting to get behind the Reuben Randle bandwagon here, but I will caution this. Sometimes in the NFL, it takes until the wide receiver's third season for them to really explode and have a big year. Now, that didn't necessarily happen with Akeem Nicks. He came along very quickly. Same deal for Victor Cruz. He came along very quickly. That doesn't always necessarily happen. If you go around the league, even Calvin Johnson didn't become an elite wide receiver. Oh, I'm sorry for using that word. A top wide receiver. I hate that word elite.
It's
the worst. Until his third year in the league, Calvin Johnson. It took him a couple seasons. Granted, the quarterback situation in Detroit might have had something to do with that. But let's just not expect Reuben Randle to reach his full potential in year number two. It might take a third season, maybe even a fourth. But I think he showed enough promise where you can depend on him next year, in the very least in that third wide receiver role that Mario Manningham had before he went to San Francisco.
I don't think there's any pressure on Reuben Randle to have a breakout year next season. I think the biggest thing is to get Akeem Nicks healthy. Mm-hmm. so that Victor Cruz doesn't see as much double teams. If they bring back Martellus Bennett with those three guys, it's not as if Ruben Randle needs to lead the team in receptions and get over 100 yards every game. He could be that complimentary receiver.
Make a big play here and there.
There you go. That's all they're going to have to need out of Ruben Randle. And then when you approach year three, perhaps you increase his number of snaps. If you lose another top receiver, a tight end, he has enough experience under his belt to then move in and take on a larger role.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Yakir in Israel. Yakir, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead. What's up, bud?
I didn't exactly understand why the Giants released Michael Bolton. Was it an issue of money? What caused them to release him?
Well, I think the move was multifaceted. For one, it was a financial deal. The Giants are dealing with a salary cap. They have to re-sign a lot of their own players in some very important positions, and Michael Bolley was making over $4 million next year. So you make a move there, you save money at linebacker, you think Jaquan Williams can step in and be the starter, it frees up money to bring in an offensive lineman or maybe a defensive back, number one. Number two, they had a guy behind Michael Bolley they thought was ready to play, and Jaquan Williams, who's young, not making a lot of money, that's number two. And number three, quite frankly, Michael Bolley had a down year last year. He had those picks earlier in the year, was never been a big fill-the-hole guy and been a good run stopper. He's been hurt throughout his Giants career from time to time. And I just thought it was time, they thought rather, it was time to cut ties with him before he drops off even more. The old saying is you'd rather let a guy go maybe a year too early than hang on to him a year too many.
Okay. Also, coming into next year, saying Ahmad Bradshaw is the starter, who do you think will be the backup and why?
Well, I think David Wilson's the starter, and I think it'll be a combination of Bradshaw and Brown as the backups.
I think Andre Brown will mainly be your goal line back, and then Bradshaw could be your change of pace and in on third down when you need an additional pass protector.
Okay, cool.
All right, thanks, Akir. Appreciate the call as always, my friend. 201-939-4513. Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Are you on Facebook?
Facebook.com/New York Giants.
We'll keep an eye on that as well. We had the comments coming in early on in the show, and we'll get to those in just a second. But for now, let's go back to our phones at 201-939-4513, and let's go to Robert in Massachusetts. Robert, good morning.
Hey, how you going? How you guys doing? I'm over here in Springfield. I've been a Giants fan from the 60s, and I found out about Bolley this morning, and besides they left Bolley go, but how many draft choices do the Giants have now in the this coming up draft?
They have one pick in every round. They haven't lost any picks in this year's draft.
Okay, so they have seven picks then,
correct,
right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so what do you think about where they're going to show up on the draft? On defensive side or offensive side or both?
Well, I think defense is a bigger priority, a bigger need overall than per se offense.
Yeah.
So I would definitely think that they're going to go the route of a defensive player early on, and then in the later rounds maybe add some more depth to their offense. But you figure the linebacker spot, the secondary, and then maybe even adding an extra defensive lineman because you don't know who you're going to potentially lose or cut in your front four. That's probably
so
top three positions.
Okay, that means linebacking core and then the secondary?
Correct.
They'll be the first two choices then, huh?
Well, at least on paper. Keep that in mind, though. You know, they may have a defensive lineman that falls to them in round one that, to most Giants fans, that's not necessarily the biggest need, but to them and their rankings, it's the best talent, and they'll take a defensive end or a defensive lineman. So it's hard. I mean, right now it's all speculation.
Number 19?
19th overall in the first round.
Okay. I just hope something comes up real good for them, you know, for the 19th for linebacking core.
Now, they should be able to have a few different options at 19. It's not necessarily a bad spot to be in, and it's a better position than last year when they won the
they
Super Bowl.
They should be landing a good linebacker. I hope it'll be a linebacker, you know, a guy that would, you know, that could just come in and, dominate the defense, you know, charge there, you know?
Well, taking a look at some of the draft ratings, and this is from outside organizations. These happen to be the ones on ESPN. I guess Scouts Inc. gives the guys these regular grades when it's not Kiper or McShay specifically. And they basically have four linebackers graded as first-round caliber linebackers. And the only one, if, again, these are very early, we haven't done the combine yet, if these ratings are to be believed and taken as scientific fact, the only linebacker that's going to be there for the Giants is Teo and maybe Minter, two inside linebackers late in that draft. Alec Ogletree is rated a lot higher than that now. We'll see what happens at the combine, obviously. So there might only be two guys available, and they're inside linebackers. So,
and who's that Minter from? Where he's from?
LSU.
I don't remember him.
LSU.
Excuse me?
LSU.
LSU? Oh, okay, yes. I got to see him play, yeah. He impressed me a little bit, yeah. Okay. All right. Have a nice day, guys. And I hope the Giants have a success in free agency. I don't know about that too much, but in the draft, I hope they come out well.
All right, Rob. Thanks so much for the phone call.
Appreciate
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You could also chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can also hit us up on Facebook.com/New York Giants. Want to hear your thoughts on the release of Michael Boley and perhaps what the Giants will do in the offseason. Just piggybacking off of Robert's point about how the Giants should look for a linebacker, and we had discussed this in weeks prior. There's no guarantee, even if you bring in a top-notch middle linebacker, per se, in the first round, that person is going to make an immediate impact. And I think the Giants need a player that is going to make an immediate impact, and that's why perhaps an internal option or a free agent could be the better direction to go, since it's more of an immediate need.
Well, if you want a player to make an immediate impact, and that's how you're basing your first-round pick, and I'm not saying that's what the Giants are doing, but if that's what your priority is, I think you go offensive line. If you draft an interior offensive lineman late in that first round, more often than not, that player can be a starter that particular season. And I think that's where the Giants go if they want somebody to start right away. If you pick a defensive lineman, whether it's an end or a tackle, they're not starting opening day. They're just not doing it. At linebacker, you might be able to get someone late in that first round that can start opening day. You saw a lot of rookies this year start. You saw Michael Kendrick start. I believe for Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to remember who the rookie linebacker that the Patriots drafted that started for them on the outside over the course of the season. I can't quite place the name, but they had an outside linebacker that they drafted last year in the first round that ended up starting for them
out of
as
Alabama,
well.
I believe.
Yeah,
I can't put the name in there. I'm trying to bring it up
right
now.
And, of course,
now.
Courtney Upshaw played a pretty important role for the Ravens, too, at outside linebacker. A situational guy, didn't start for them. But he played a pretty big role for them as well. So you can get a linebacker to contribute right away. As for the free agents, a lot of these guys
Dante
that are
Hightower.
Out there, Dante Hightower, exactly. They can't get these guys, and he was a second-round pick, I believe, not actually a first-round pick, Dante Hightower, if memory serves me right. Paul Kruger, a 3-4 outside linebacker, not exactly a fit for the Giants. Brian Urlacher, kind of over the hill. Anthony Spencer, another 3-4 outside linebacker who's a pass rusher. Great against the run, too. That's actually his biggest strength. So he could be a 4-3 Sam, but again, he's going to cost a lot of money. A guy with double-digit sacks, he's going to demand a huge contract. I'm not sure the Giants have those sort of resources at their disposal. Eric Henderson, you know, Darryl Smith, Brady James is a little over the hill. You know, it's Sean Phillips. I mean, there aren't a lot of linebackers out there that get me excited, to be honest with you.
I keep throwing the name out, Mark Herzlich. This could be a breakout offseason for him. The opportunity is staring him in the face. And if they choose to bring back Chase Blackburn, the two of them could compete, and maybe Herzlich gets over the hump. Maybe with a little bit more experience underneath his belt, he can develop into that linebacker. Remember, they drafted him for a reason. They didn't necessarily draft him to come in and, boom, get slid right into the starting lineup. Perhaps this is the year where he has observed enough, he's gotten enough snaps, that he can now take on a larger role. But you've got to look at your internal options. I know there may be other attractive options outside of the organization right now, and there may be a rookie that has a lot of hype, but that doesn't mean that that's the best route to go. It could very well be a guy who already knows the system, just has not had the opportunity to play in every down role. Maybe this is his year.
And from the Giants' perspective, that would be their ideal situation. Use your draft picks, use your scouting department. Herzlich, an undrafted free agent, get that done. Try to use the internal solution, which is a lot cheaper as well than bringing somebody in from the outside. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Len down in Maryland. Len, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up, bud? Doing well, Len. What you got?
Well, first of all, I think I understand and could deal with the Boley release, but I'll bet that shook up a lot of people in the Timex Center yesterday. I think there's probably some players walking around saying, oh my Lord, am I next?
Not many players around probably, this time of year, Len, but I imagine wherever they are, they're probably thinking about it.
Well, I bet they're hoping their cell phones don't ring.
Yep, no question.
at least showing a New Jersey number anyway.
Lance Meadow was on pins and needles yesterday, let me tell you.
I think I understand it in terms of the money. And, you know, the guy's on the wrong side of 30. You get to 30 in the NFL, and, oh, boy, it starts getting tough for you to hang in there. But, listen, before we get off that topic, a big thank you to Michael Boley. 4 good years when he was healthy. You know, I hate to have to say it that way, but when he was healthy, he was a terrific player.
Big part of the Super Bowl team. Big part.
Big play capabilities, gave us some speed at linebacker. You know, I hope he finds work for a year or two. I think he did a good job for us. I'm sorry he got hurt, but it was pretty clear at the end of the season. You know, he couldn't get back on the field, or the coaches wouldn't put him on the field. He was playing less and less in those last 3 or 4 games, and I think that was a sign that the Giants had probably given up on him, and they were going to go in a little different direction. But thank you to Michael Boley. Gave us 4 good years. I think we'll have 9 picks. I think we're going to get some compensatory picks this year.
Oh, you know what? You know what? Lenny might be right about that.
Manningham, I don't think they've been decided yet, but I think Manningham and Ross will bring us some comp picks. Now, they're not going to be ones and twos. We're probably going to get another 6, maybe a 7, maybe down to 5. I don't know. I can't understand the formula. It's a crazy formula. But in any event, I think we'll get 2 more, and we'll have 9 picks, and that's good. You know, we'll get the youth that and that, you know, the hungry nature of the player that earlier caller talked about, and I think he was right on with that. You know, this team's got to get hungrier. It's got to get hungrier. I hope Herzlick can do it. I don't have much confidence. I just don't see it. He doesn't have the speed. I think that injury took it all away from him. That college injury took it all away from him. I'm going to stick with $40 million. I'm going to $40 million to Victor. I'm going to shorten it from 8 years to 6 years. I'm still going to go $16 million up front, and I'm going to front load that contract. Victor's going to be 27 years old during the season. In 3 short years, he's going to be on the other side of 30. So I'm going to front load that contract and see if I can get him to sign it. That's the way I'd come at it with, if I were the Giants. And here's my pick for the halftime show.
All right, what do you got, Len?
I've been waiting for this.
Yes.
Here we go.
Giving
all
it
right,
some thought. Right.
This is going to be a little different now. I'm going with Coldplay on Thursday night at the Prudential Center.
Okay.
And I'm going with Taylor Swift Friday night at MSG.
Okay.
We show it at halftime, and that game is, you know, too big a risk. I don't know if we can put anybody on the field and risk that cold weather. But I'm going Coldplay and Taylor Swift. What do you guys think?
All right, so no live performance day of the game.
No live performance day of the game. Now, I don't know if you guys will get this little dig, but maybe we can go find the Hawthorne Caballeros and bring them back and send them out on the field. Do you remember that 1960s group?
Lance might. I know I don't.
I'm lost, Lance. I'm sorry. That wasn't my time.
Right, right over our heads.
Check around with Michael Eisen, and he'll put a smile on his face.
The Hawthorne Caballeros? What is
John
it?
And I got to do some homework on that one.
Late 70s and into the 80s, every year, a halftime show, once or twice a year. And wouldn't it be nice if Kate Mara sang the national anthem?
Ah, that's not a bad one.
That's certainly an option. So you're going for the tape performances. Interesting.
That's it.
Too risky with the cold weather.
I don't think we can take the risk. I don't think Pepsi's going to lay out the money for that halftime show, taking the risk, unless we put them in a bubble out there. Heated, but then even if you're in that stadium, you're going to have trouble seeing it if you work it that way. It's going to be tough on a halftime show. But I like Coldplay and Taylor Swift. One in New Jersey, one in New York.
All right. Fair enough. Len, appreciate the call.
All right, man.
All right, Len, thanks so much.
Have a good one.
I like the Coldplay choice. I have to admit, I am a personal fan of that group. So.
You like Coldplay,
yes,
huh?
Yes, big Coldplay fan.
That's interesting.
So I like where Len's going. I would fully support that move.
I could see Lance being a Coldplay fan.
And what we were talking about over the last couple of days, given the cold weather, it may be more suitable for a band rather than an individual performer.
That's true. You know, these female vocalists out there in the frigid cold, I'm not sure if that's going to go too well.
A lot of strain on the voice.
Yes. What around like a fur coat of some kind. Not, Not sure you want that.
And just on a side note, the New York Post yesterday came out with a story that claimed that the NFL had no plans in place for even having a halftime
and
show.
And then the Daily News had a quote from the NFL refuting that
exactly.
story.
Exactly. So who knows where they're going to go.
The battle of the tabloids continues.
The nature of the beast when it comes to the NFL.
201-939-4513. Riley's in New Jersey. Riley, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, fellas? Great show.
Thanks, Riley. What
talking,
you got?
We're talking about getting free agents in, and I was had a, maybe a technical question. I don't know if you guys would know this, but how do we arrive at the cap? I think the cap is $121 million. It's going to be announced in a week or two. And how do they arrive at that money of $121?
What they basically do is take all the revenue that the league brings in, whether it's from TV, advertising, merchandising, all those numbers put all together. They take a certain percentage of that number based on the collective bargaining agreement. You divide that number by the 32 teams that are in the league, so it's all spread out evenly, and that's how you get to the salary cap number. Now, the reason the salary cap didn't go up by more than just a few hundred thousand dollars, if my memory serves me correctly, is revenue didn't increase quite as much as everyone thought it would, even with the new CBA, the new TV agreements. All the other rising costs, whether it's, you know, health care, you know, things like that, have brought the cost of the league up. So therefore, the profit and the revenue and the net difference between those two goes down. So the salary cap remains relatively stagnant from last year to this year.
Well, thank you very much. So basically what we're going to be looking at, it's possible that come March 12th, we're going to have a lot of players on the open market because all these teams are going to be in the same boat trying to reach that cap and trying to jettison players. So the teams may be able to pick up a linebacker or offensive lineman for a year or two as we get to March 12th. We could see a tremendous number of players. I'm thinking about just the Baltimore Ravens. They're going to have to give Flacco a ton of money. And they're going to have to jettison players or rework contracts. So we might see a lot of players out there that the Giants might be able to pick up, albeit for 1 or 2 years, but at least stopgap if they need somebody at linebacker.
According to John Klain of ESPN, this is a story you put out a few weeks ago. By my count, there are 9 teams currently over the salary cap and another handful that are close to it. So those teams might have to make some moves, but there actually are a lot of teams with a lot of cap space this season, believe it or not.
Oh, and by the way, the Hawthorne Caballeros, I remember them very well. They were at Giant Stadium maybe 3 or 4 times a year in the 80s and early 90s, and they just disappeared. I don't know. Maybe you could bring them back. But I think that last caller was right. I don't think we're going to have a live show at the MetLife next year for the Super Bowl. There's no reason why they can't put them on the boards, the big Trexie box. On boards up there, it'll be the same. To put a band there or someone singing and the temperature's 20 degrees and the wind's blowing, I don't know what kind of a performance you're going to get.
No, I hear you, but I almost feel like the fans are already paying so much for the ticket and they're already miserable in the cold. Don't you want to give them as much value for the buck as you can by giving them a live performance?
You're right, but what kind of performance you're going to get? That's going to have to be decided. Are you going to get a good performance for the dollar you're paying?
Yeah,
you may not get
that.
The performance you get when you're warm. I know you walk around and you're cold. You're not moving as fast. It's a nice warm day and the sun is shining and it's beautiful. I mean, you're sitting in a dome stadium and it's perfect conditions. That's one thing. But to be singing and performing when it could be, let's say, 20 degrees or 25 degrees, which is not uncommon for February 2nd, and a wind blowing,
rough
and it
conditions.
Can be uncomfortable. You may not get your A game.
That's why a band is more suitable than a person who is going to dance around the stage.
So can you really, if your hands are freezing, can you play the guitar, play the piano with, you know, not really being able to, you know, feel your fingers? It is a fair question, but it's my guess they'll figure out a way to get that done.
Maybe they can have blowers to keep them warm.
Hey,
like
John Schmelk will definitely agree to do that. He'll step on the stage and he will, you know, take out the hair blower and make sure that the guitarist of Coldplay is all warm.
There is plenty of hot air in this brain of mine and in my head of mine, so there's no question I could get the job done.
I like the recommendation, Riley. We appreciate that.
I like the hair blower. I like the hair dryer. I really do.
A gigantic stadium-sized hair dryer.
Absolutely.
Riley, appreciate the call, bud.
All right, Riley, thanks so much. Here's another thing that they could do. You know, the Timex Center is not too far away from the stadium. There's a studio here. the band could come. John, you could wire the place over the week or two prior to the big dance. This is something that they can at least, you know, think about. You seem so energetic about taking on that project. All right, we'll move on. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number.
Are you done?
No, I'm not. I may have another brilliant idea by the time this show wraps up. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You could also chime in on Facebook.com/New York Giants.
I was enjoying the show until your little idea there. I wake up this morning. I have no hot water in my apartment. Start off the morning real well. Have to drive through
nice
traffic
surprise.
In the Lincoln Tunnel. Always a fun morning. And now I got to deal with you.
It's a trifecta. You know, we make sure that you have all three issues every morning.
I can't get rid of you soon enough. You're really getting my last nerve this week, Meadow. Not going to lie.
I have no plans on leaving anytime soon.
Now, will you be joining us on remote tomorrow?
We'll try to definitely make an effort for at least about the first half hour, potentially.
Okay. Well, we will try to do that. Might not be easy, but we will make the attempt.
We'll go all out. We're not going to give up. We can explore some options, just like the NFL is exploring their own options for halftime.
All right.
We'll work through the technology.
Because Lance has better things
to
do.
Well, you seem to have your doubts now all of a sudden. It's been done before.
It has been done
before. We can make it work.
201-939-4513. Our final call of the program is David down in Georgia. David, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
What's up, bud?
I got a couple questions because I'm not really up to speed on what's going on with the Giants right
sure.
now.
Sure. What do you got?
First one is, why do they let Boley go when he was like the number three tackler? First of all, opposed to re-signing him, is it a cap issue or?
Well, again, Boley, it wasn't a matter of re-signing him. He was under contract for one more year. He was going to make about $4 million. So yes, the onus behind the move and the thinking behind it was money, and they're trying to save money on the cap. They're a little bit over the cap if John Clayton's numbers on ESPN.com are correct. And they're going to have to try to get under the cap to re-sign some of their own players, like Will Beatty, like Kevin Booth. And if they want to add some players in the secondary, they're going to have some cap space with that as well. They think Jaquan Williams is ready to step in for Boley. He really played for them the last couple games of the regular season last year to come in. They think he can do a good enough job replacing Boley. And don't let those tackle numbers fool you. A lot of times tackle numbers can be a little bit deceiving. Where'd those tackles take place? Is he making that tackle at the line of scrimmage, or is he chasing the guy down 8-9 yards down the field? I think with Boley, you're having more of the latter than you are the former.
Yeah. And then my other question is with Nix and Cruz has already stated he wanted to be a Giant because he's been a Giant fan his whole life kind of thing. And then did they already utilize their franchise tag? Because you get the franchise one player. And then you could deal with Knicks, who's always got injury anyway.
Giants have not franchised anybody this year. They did franchise Steve Weatherford. Otherwise, the Giants generally don't like to use that franchise tag unless they have to. Remember, Victor Cruz is restricted, too. He's not an unrestricted free agent, so it wouldn't even be a matter of putting the franchise tag on him. If he's a restricted free agent, you put a first-round tender on him, and then if a team does claim him and try to overpay him to get him away from the Giants, and the Giants don't match, they would have to give the Giants a first-round pick.
And then I got one question if I could squeeze it in.
Sure.
Because I know you're into that. My other question is the running back situation. You saw Wilson did a good job for Bradshaw, but I heard rumor that they're doing away with kickoffs or something. Is that garbage or what's going on? Like, where's Wilson going to get most of the performance done? And are they going to do to Bradshaw what they kind of did to Jacobs and make him kind of the bruiser and then Wilson's like the scat back, if you will?
Well, the whole thing with regarding kickoffs is purely speculation. There hasn't been any decision made. They're still going to have the competition committees and the owners' meetings upcoming, and they'll certainly discuss that. But that's all speculation. As of right now, the kickoffs still exist. They're not getting rid of it. So David Wilson will still have a role to carve out for himself on special teams. That's not going away anytime soon, at least from my perspective. Regarding the roles next season, I could see David Wilson become the primary back and Ahmad Bradshaw be more of a third down back, change of pace. And then remember, Andre Brown is a free agent. If they were to bring him back, he could mainly be the goal line back. I think the Giants want to have that three-man rotation. It worked effectively when everybody was healthy. The problem was Andre Brown got hurt, then Bradshaw got hurt, and at the end of the season, David Wilson was really the only healthy option. So he was able to get an opportunity to take on about 15 to 20 carries. Moving forward next season, maybe 15 is probably on average what David Wilson could get, and then you split the rest of the load between Bradshaw and Andre Brown. We're past the time in this league where you just rely on one back to get 25 carries. In order to have true success in the NFL, you need to have at least two or three strong options. That's why I don't think the Giants are really going to tinker with their rotation much, assuming the numbers work out financially.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You got it, and thanks so much for the phone call, David. Appreciate it.
201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. Any Facebook comments that you want to try to go through here, Lance? You weren't
doing
any work.
Well, everybody was – I'm not doing any work. You're right. I'm just sitting here for my health. But
anyway.
That
is true.
The comments are pretty much about Michael Boley for the most part. A little bit about Corey Webster when we were talking about that early in the show. Some people claim that he should look to restructure his contract since he is due $7 million. Not many surprises regarding the Michael Boley release. I think most people understand that it was a financial reason as to why they got rid of him. And also his production dipped in addition to that. I was looking at his numbers because David did bring up that he was the third leading tackler. He had 92 overall when you look at the numbers.
His tackle numbers, I just don't get into them that much.
Well, and how much stock can you put into them, especially this season, when there were so many missed tackles and the defense couldn't stop the run overall? I mean, being the third leading tackler on this defense, I mean, does that really say a lot?
Doesn't ring my bell.
So that's why there's only so much that you could put into those numbers. He did have four tackles for a loss, which was second on the team.
Four.
But they weren't getting in the backfield more often than not. That was a big problem.
Mike Farmer's upset with us, by the way, on Twitter.
Why is Mike Farmer upset?
Entirely too much time being spent on next year's in
it's
capital
all good
letters.
And fun.
Halftime show. Who cares? Again, all caps. Really.
I take it Mike Farmer will not be getting tickets to Super Bowl 48.
Well, I think it's just something you can have a little fun with.
Absolutely.
Got to be a little
no harm, no foul.
Like this. Mike, I understand you're a little upset. You're fired up there. You usually do a good job on Twitter. We love your tweets. Keep them coming in. But we're just having a little fun here with Len because Len is our star and entertainment guru, and we like to go to him with these types of
questions.
He
has multiple titles, Len from Maryland.
Yes, he does. He does.
He's a renaissance man. He does a little bit of everything. And speaking of the whole Super Bowl chatter, just a warning to Mike Farmer, and we love Mike and the input that he gives each and every show. This is just the beginning of all the Super Bowl talk. Not necessarily for us here on Big Blue Kickoff, but just get ready with the media and everything. They are going to start speculating from this point on. I believe there's even a countdown on certain media outlets' websites leading up to the Super Bowl. We just got through Super Bowl 47, and they are already talking about Super Bowl 48 as if it's next week.
Countdown to Lance Meadow hosting the Super Bowl.
If that is humanly possible. Where are you going with this one?
Well, I think maybe you'll be named as like the league
the MC?
Representative to, you know, meet and greet people, try to, you know, put a happy face on things.
Well, if I'm going to have to go through that, then you're going to be right next to me.
Nah.
No, we'll find a way to get you involved.
Maybe Dottino can do it.
Dottino's absolutely going to be in the mix. Dottino will be doing somersaults out in the parking lot.
In our fake political campaign, Dottino is our press secretary, so he would be the guy that would do something like that.
And then what was Hanlon's position again in that? Was Pat on the ticket as well?
Oh, yeah. Dottino was the spokesman, right? And Pat was the...
He may have been the press secretary.
Was the press secretary. That's
that was
correct.
That call we got about the bumper sticker that we
yeah,
made.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not too late to join the bandwagon.
I think that was Dottino's job. We might have given him a different job. I don't quite remember, but...
Though I don't think Pat and Paul could last more than about a week and a half on the same tour. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I don't think
I don't see them spending an awful lot of time on the same bus.
I don't think Hanlon would last with anybody on for 2 weeks on the same tour.
It's a fair
tour.
Point.
I think he'd walk out. He'd be sick of me and you, I promise you that. All right, I want to squeeze in one more call before you say goodbye real quick. Dave in Rochester, make it fast here, pal. What's up?
All right, brothers. Quickly, I just wanted to see Sean Payton being reinstated as the head coach back, and then there's reports of Rob Ryan coming as defensive coordinator, and what effect it would have for the league. Just want to get your thoughts.
I don't know if it would affect the league necessarily, but I guess it took more than 5 seconds for Rob Ryan to find that new defensive coordinator job, huh?
Right.
It was on the market a little bit longer than expected,
yeah.
Well, good. And then for my Dottino, the spring is coming up. Like, does Tino, like drive around the yard and mow the lawn and, like, his Nikes and his like little. He's got like a wife beater shirt and.
I don't want to imagine 70s. That, Dave. There's too many details now here.
And I do not believe that Tino has a riding mower. He is more hands-on and rough and tumble than that.
The gloves. Yeah. He likes to get down and dirty.
Maybe like the 70s, like, shorts.
Oh, well, yes. Well, Paul Dottino's wardrobe is much more 80s than it is 70s. But I guarantee you, when he's mowing that long, you might definitely have some members-only apparel being worn while that lawn is being mowed.
That is an exclusive club that he is in.
All right, Dave, appreciate the call, buddy. Thanks,
let's put it this way. He's not trading outfits with the neighbors down the block, I'll tell you that.
All right, let's see. We got a couple other tweets I want to get to here. A couple of tweets came in on Boley from Brandon Diggs, referencing BDiggs7 at BDiggs7 on Twitter, discussing whether or not Blackburn's going to be back. In my opinion, Lance, I know he's a free agent. I still think the Giants bring Chase Blackburn back. He's very valuable. He's versatile. He can play Sam. He can play inside linebacker. He's a good special teams player. He knows the defense. He's a good leader. I thought he had a pretty good year this year. And even if they don't bring him back maybe in the early parts of free agency, March, April, or May, I could see them bringing him back in the summer much like they did last season.
Or like Deion Grant,
exactly.
Where, you know, he's still on the market, he knows the system, and they feel that he could serve as a security blanket. I could certainly see them do that. But I think
it just makes sense to me to bring him back. Why not?
And I think that if you can bring him back, it could help to push Herzlick a bit,
right,
too. So there's a positive from that perspective.
Well, you can't just hand that job to Mark.
No, absolutely
not. He has to have competition.
He has to have. I agree with you 100%. That's how you motivate a young player. That's how you get him ready. And if there's any player that knows the playbook backwards and forwards and is a conduit between Perry Fuel and what goes on in the football field, John, it's Chase Blackburn.
Yeah, we're going to have it. I'm not sure if it's on the website now. It might be in the archives. Chase Blackburn did an anatomy of the play feature for us. And the detail he goes into on some of these defensive assignments on this play, he was talking so fast with this terminology. And I was the one producing the feature and talking to him in the studio. I had no idea what he was talking about. And I like to think I know something about football more than the average person. And he was throwing out terms and plays and positions. He knows his stuff. Let's just put it that way. X's and O's wise, Chase Blackburn is on top of things.
Well, he had to have known his stuff because he came back late last season against the Green Bay Packers and then fit right in as if he was here all those previous weeks. Remember, he had that big interception on Aaron Rodgers, and that was a game that they had lost by 3 points, but it looked as if they were in prime position to upset the Packers, hand them their first loss. So Blackburn's a good fit for the system, and certainly he doesn't have an ego, doesn't have a huge personality that's going to get in the way of some of the other players in the locker room. He's well-liked. There's no harm in bringing him back. And I don't think he's going to be a strain on the salary cap. So name a negative here that would prevent you from bringing back Chase Blackburn.
Our buddy Ed Falkenberg Jr. writes in, worrying about the Giants linebacker depth. He mentioned that Jaquan Williams, Spencer Paysinger, to at least back up Boley, should be a pretty good combination there. They're Star Trekker at NFL Captain Kirk, apparently big Star Trek guy. That movie, I saw the preview for that movie, actually looks pretty good. Khan making a return. I'm not a big Star Trek guy myself.
Mike Farmer's going to get annoyed here. You're going more towards the entertainment aspect. You want to, you know, get
Star
back, rein it in a little
myself.
Bit here.
So he wants the Giants to go first round and a linebacker. And as you so aptly pointed out, they have not picked a linebacker in the first round since Carl Banks. So unless someone's there with the talent, they're not going to reach for somebody in that first round.
And once again, impact player. You need an impact player at that position.
Give me an impact Facebook comment before we say goodbye.
I
you
read over
nothing.
Every single
you
Facebook comment, and this is
nothing.
Not a shot at the fans. But
yes, it is.
There's nothing here
you said nobody,
that is really worth throwing out.
How many comments were made? Give me a number.
I don't even have 269.
So
No, 269 people liked the comment.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me.
Well, how many comments were made? Do you have
I don't have a tracker here,
well,
unless I forgot how to read Facebook.
Okay, well, you have
ballpark,
about,
there's about 20.
All right, and you couldn't find one out of 20?
A lot of them are one-liners.
Anything funny?
No, nothing that really rocks my boat. We also have a comment in another language, too.
Oh, really?
Well,
what
I'm
we got
not going to read that because I don't even know what it means. So.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, we can't read that. We might say something.
Yeah, that
without,
would be a smart philosophy.
Not sure what we're saying.
Right here. It's
oh,
Spanish,
boy.
But
it
I
is,
can't tell you what it is.
It's something, the same surprise and no hope, I believe, is something
oh,
to
look
do with
look at you.
That. Hey, I took 3 semesters of college
well, so
Spanish,
did I,
my friend.
But that was in the back view mirror at this point. You don't see me practicing and honing my skills.
Hey, Spanish is a very useful skill.
It is.
To have.
I'm not downing Spanish. I still don't know, though, what that means.
I'm sure everyone in Spain is very happy you're not doubting their language.
I didn't lose that segment of
there
our
are
listeners.
Billion people around the world that's very happy that Lance Medal approves of their language choice.
They were nervous. You know, they were waiting for me to publicly come out and determine how I felt about the language.
And I'm just happy.
Now I can rest easy in Spain.
I'm just happy you're gracing us with your presence on tomorrow's show for at least a small part of it.
Absolutely.
Can take time out of your busy day. All right, Lance. Appreciate it as always, my friend.
You still don't want me to look through a Facebook comment here.
I thought we were
leaving the fans on edge.
You said you could have found one. I'm going to start wrapping up the show. If you find one before
here we go.
I wrap all right,
here we go.
Here we go.
Stan Jones, okay? We pick Stan Jones.
What does Stanley have to say?
We need some linebacker and some DBs and free agent splash. I say go get Jake Long. He is on the market.
Oh, boy. That's a lot of money right there.
I say if we keep Eli on his feet and off his back, he will deliver, which I agree with.
Well, offensive line
is key.
Somewhere you have to at least – you know, hold the line, if not get better in the offseason.
But Long is going to cost you a lot of money.
See, that wasn't so hard, was it?
Well, I came upon this while you were talking about
bloviating
some other meaningless stuff.
Yes,
anyway.
Exactly. All right, lads. Appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow
morning.
Sounds
good.
Big Blue Kickoff Live comes your way every morning from 9:30 to 10:30 on Giants.com. We're here tomorrow. We'll hear on Friday. We look forward to hearing from you on the phones. You're listening to Giants.com. For Lance Medal, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you tomorrow morning.